Yes, first of all, I want to say thank you for the teaching of resting in awareness like this. This is beautiful, and I have been practicing some techniques from Shiva about resting in awareness, and it seems. When I listen to you, there are, to me, this is the teaching seems to be from the very old tradition, this resting in awareness. And to me, this Shiva Sutras, I've been thinking this was the oldest teaching ever. And who knows? Anyway, there is one technique, one of my favorites. Shiva says to Devi, O lotus-eyed one, sweet of touch, when singing, seeing, tasting, be aware you are, and discover the ever-living, remembering being, and resting in that. And then there's another one, which comes to you, to this teaching, I think, when vividly aware through some particular sense, keep in the awareness. And this point of view, there is a technique about Maya. Shiva says to Vivi, illusions deceive, colors circumscribe, even divisibles are indivisible. And so I feel very familiar with resting in awareness, because that's what I've been doing for the last 25 years, practicing these Shiva techniques. But I never heard it so clearly as from you now. So, well, my question is there any even more old teaching or what is it? one of my last favorite ones, Osho gave to me, because my question was how to quiet the mind. I went to all gurus saying how to quiet the mind. And he gave the technique, wherever your mind is wandering, internally or externally, this. So that was all I have to say for today.
Are you feeling better?
Well, can you please comment this my relationship to the Shiva Sutras or whatever, because I'm pretty hung up on it. People tell me to throw the book away, but I love it. I love the sutras, and I love the entrances to resting in awareness through them.
Sure. I understand.
What is idleness?
Mm-hmm. interesting as awareness when you're like moving, or it seems to me I always like have to stop everything for the rest, and I think it feels a little bit not there yet, so it's better.
The power of resting as awareness is that it is the sole practice. There's no other practice. So there's nothing to be distracted by. And you may notice I don't say rest in awareness. I say rest as awareness. And there is a very subtle distinction between the two, as and in, because in implies that there is a doer resting, and as implies that there is only awareness, and so that's a very important distinction. When we rest as awareness, even though initially we may feel like there's someone doing it, that impression that there is someone there who's resting as awareness will gradually or quickly dissolve, and then there will only be awareness and whatever appears within it. The true identity is the all-encompassing pure view of awareness, inclusive of all points of view. That's your only identity, and there is no other identity. So to assume or presume that there is an identity, such as an ego or a personality that has some kind of individual substantiality in its own right, that it is a someone who has generated a power of its own that has made it itself, is completely false. You see, so to work on something that has no independent nature rarely ever leads anywhere, because you can't work on nothing. If you work on nothing, it just ends up being frustrating. The true identity, the all-encompassing pure view of awareness, inclusive of all points of view, within all of those points of view is included everything. So the individual identity, your name, your gender, the color of your skin, everything you can describe about yourself, those are all distinct points of view within the all-encompassing pure view of awareness. They're not some consolidated, finite thing called a personal identity. And when we rest as awareness, we see very gradually, usually, that this is the case, that there really isn't a fixed identity that we can show to be located anywhere. And then, too, with everything else that appears within awareness, whether they're thoughts, emotions, experiences, people, places, things, all these, too, are self-appearances of awareness. And all sounds, too, from the most subtle to the most overt, all these are self-sounds of awareness. So just this is what awareness is. It's very simple and it's very straightforward. Awareness does not require the body or the mind to move in any special way. If you suggest to yourself that you need to move your body or your mind in any special way to be powerful or to be complete, then you're just tricking yourself into perpetuating an idea that makes you someone who has some kind of individual power. And so even though most of us learn that we have to have positive thinking and positive emotions in order to feel well-being and to be positive people, that is very far from what will take us to our full wisdom power. We learn that we have to accumulate positive thoughts, and we have to accumulate positive emotions and cultivate positive experiences in order to have a positive life. And even though we may be able to put together somewhat of a positive life by those means, we will never put together the most positive life we can. positive thinking in and of itself is just another game. It's just another hamster wheel to run around on. It will never lead to super complete wisdom. And for long as we might commit ourselves to positive thinking only or positive emotions only, for just that long we will be completely apart from wisdom. And it's in the super complete wisdom that already exists within us that we have complete mastery and power over everything. We have complete mastery and power over all of our thoughts and emotions. And this is where we first recognize that wisdom awareness does have power over everything in our own thoughts and emotions. And the way in which that's recognized is that a thought or an emotion we've always had that has troubled us comes up, and when it appears in awareness, we rest as awareness rather than following after or blocking that appearance, whatever it is. And in that, we become more and more grounded in awareness as the source of that appearance. Now, the practice of resting as awareness for short moments, repeated many times, it's many years old. It's the oldest of all practices, and it's a practice of being human. So it's a practice that is so powerful that it doesn't need any special category to contain it, like religion, philosophy, spirituality, psychology. It doesn't need a category. It simply is the basis of being human. And to put it into a category then limits it in some way. The practice itself is at least 17,000 years old. So first it was handed down orally, and then it was when people began writing about 10,000 years ago, then it was written down into written teachings, key points and pivotal instructions about resting as awareness. And this soul practice suggests to us that awareness is the only essence of our being. It's our essence, it's our nature, and it is our capacity. And when we become familiar with that, we find a power within us that is like any other power we can cultivate or foster through conceptual means. Awareness is completely unconcepted. It's never been made into any concept, not a conceptual framework or a non-conceptual framework. So it's unconcepted even into non-conceptual. And conceptual, you see, conceptual and non-conceptual are opposites, but awareness is completely unconceptual. It doesn't have any extremes. It doesn't take up the position of non-conceptuality, and it doesn't take up the position of conceptuality either. And it's not a middle way either, because what has no beginning and end can't have a middle. What has no extremes can't have a middle. So when we rest as awareness, we rest in the essential intelligence of everything. We rest as the essential intelligence of absolutely everything that appears. And then as that intelligence, we become familiar with the core of our being. We become familiar with the place where our power really is. And that power is completely without concepts, so including concepts of life, birth, and death. And in resting as awareness, we find that we aren't limited by all the concepts we put into play. Concepts are like pieces in a game. So all the words and labels that are in the dictionary or dictionary.com or wherever they might be, all these words and labels are just appearances of awareness. They're points of view appearing within awareness and nothing else. And when we take all these game pieces and we believe that the game pieces are real rather than the source of the game, then we really have no idea what's going on. And this is the only cause of suffering. This is the only cause of feeling that we're incomplete. This is the only cause of really believing that there are opposites such as good and evil. such as cause and effect. Awareness includes everything. It includes concepts of good. It includes concepts of evil, but it's beyond both. It includes concepts of cause and concepts of effect, but it's beyond causality. It doesn't take up an extreme anywhere. When we rest as awareness, we have an entirely balanced view. Our scope or vantage broadens remarkably so that we can see things in a lucidly clear way. And we can speak about things in a very clear way. We can understand things within ourselves in a very clear way. Awareness is completely beyond confusion. And when I say beyond confusion, I don't mean awareness is unconfused, because for awareness to be unconfused, it would have to be opposed to something that is confused. But in awareness, there's never been any confusion. The sole stance of awareness is that everything that appears within it is awareness. Just like in the sky, the color blue appears and is inseparable from it, so too in awareness, all points of view appear and are inseparable from it. And any point of view whatsoever that appears is like a mirage or an echo. Just like a mirage is a self-appearance of pure space, and an echo is a self-sound of pure space, so too everything that appears within awareness is a self-appearance or a self-sound of awareness. All the points of view that appear within awareness pose no threat. They absolutely pose no threat. So when we rest as awareness, we come to be able to definitively conclude this experientially. In other words, not in a philosophical or intellectual way. In our own experience, we're able to definitively conclude that awareness is beyond everything. And the way that we see that is very simply, when we believe all the pieces of the game are real, then we think that all of our emotions and thoughts have a power to affect us and either make us have a good day or a bad day. But when we rest as awareness, we see that these appearances, thoughts and emotions that we thought could make us have a bad day or a good day, that these really are not any kind of cause that leads to an effect of either a good day or a bad day. We find that the sole cause and effect of a good day is awareness, and that's it. Everything that appears within awareness is equal. Descriptions have no independent power. They have no independent nature. They're not a self-generated mechanism that whereby they're imputed to be something in and of themselves. So when we rest as awareness more and more, we prove to ourselves that these appearances don't have an independent nature. Before that, we can read all the philosophy books in the world or go to endless teachings, satsangs, get all kinds of spiritual buzzes from this and that, prove to ourselves how powerful our thoughts are occasionally to enable us to do certain things. But all of that is really for naught, ultimately. All the pieces of the game will never help us when we're on our deathbed. When we're on our deathbed, our ability to conceptualize falls apart. Our best thinking, our best ability to control our emotional states will be completely non-existent. It completely falls apart. The ability to hold together a conceptual world whereby we're somehow going to make ourselves feel good, it's gone. It's completely gone. And what we have instead are completely wild thoughts and emotions that are more like slipping into a dream state. You know, we might see all kinds of things, and all of a sudden we'll be realizing that our thoughts don't work anymore to protect us, and our emotions don't work either to protect us, that all these things are like dream images. They have no value. They can't give us any sustenance in the time of dying. And when we die, all of our senses just break down one by one. We're not able to use parts of anymore. You know, we can't see, we can't hear, we can't feel anything when we touch it, we can't smell anything. And so, as all of these things break down, we're still aware, and we're aware of all of this going on. And then the heartbeat stops and the breath stops, but we're still totally aware. So you see, if we haven't familiarized ourselves with awareness during the process of living, at dying, we won't know what's going on. We won't know where to take refuge. We won't know where to find comfort. But if we have familiarized ourselves with awareness, then as we fade into this death, we can just see it as the drama of death, the point of view of death, just another point of view appearing within awareness. And these teachings, when they initially came about, they initially came about as emanations of compassion. They're emanations of compassion to prepare people for dying. And in the preparation for dying, a wonderful life is had. See, everybody's going to recognize awareness when they die. There isn't anyone who won't recognize awareness. But when we rest as awareness during life, then we can also have the incredible adventure of enjoying awareness as a living being. And so in the Great Freedom Teaching worldwide, there are many people who are living as awareness, resting as awareness. People just like everyone here, and people who have come with fears about death and fears about life and not knowing what to do about money and not knowing what to do about sex, what not knowing what to do about relationships, work, food, leisure, whatever the concerns might be, not knowing what to do about mind, not knowing what to do about emotions. But in resting as awareness, all of that is overcome. In the mastery of your own being as awareness, you have complete sovereignty over all thoughts and emotions. And so this is what the power of awareness is. It's the power to be of ultimate support in every single moment of life, no matter what's going on. When we rest as awareness, we start to know how many thoughts we really have, how many emotions we really have. When we're not resting as awareness, we're always trying to subdue or quell our thoughts and emotions. We don't even know what thoughts and emotions we really have because we're too afraid to know what thoughts and emotions we have. If we just let our thoughts and emotions go, we're afraid that everything will just be mayhem. It'll go completely pell-mell and we might do something berserk or crazy. However, just the opposite is the case. We're crazy when we're trying to control our thoughts and emotions. That's true craziness. And we end up feeling frustrated and confused a lot of the time because we can never come up with anything that finally resolves our thoughts and emotions. We're all thoughts and emotions are completely exhausted in the blissful expanse of awareness. When we rest as awareness, we rest as the blissful, sustaining palace of the vast expanse of infinite space. And the more we rest as awareness, the less anything that appears within awareness is a worry, no matter what it is. It can be mental pain, it can be physical pain, it can be something internal, it could be something external, but whatever it is, we're prepared. There isn't any kind of destination for anyone to get to. And there's no one going to any kind of destination. When we realize that in resting is awareness, there is no one resting.